Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
And Ben's nose whistle is back as well.
Oh, shit.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Ben Graceford, and I've got first world internet for the first time ever.
I'm Dylan Reeve, and I still don't have a witty tagline.
I'm excited to talk about your first world internet. You changed to who? Snap or someone?
So, long story short, cabinets got turned on. Orcon put me on the cabinet. Orcon screwed up putting me on the cabinet. Snap heard about it and said, let's try VDSL as well. So I've got two lines now. I've got an Orcon 14 megasecond normal DSL and a Snap 28 megasecond VDSL.
What's up on the VDSL?
Yeah.
10, which, and I'm going to write a big blog post about this because the 10 is limited by Telecom, and also Telecom won't let Snap change the profile on the VDSL to get me to 70.
So, Dylan, do you think we should talk about the thing that we've been organising for October? Can we start talking about that now in public, do you think?
Isn't it in November?
November, yes.
Good.
That's lucky.
Well, I think we can. Yeah, let's do that, and then that'll actually encourage us to do some more solid organising.
So we're going to do a live video show of epic proportions for the general election on November the 26th. And your crazily good upstream actually is quite promising, not because we want to do it from your place, but because from my place, I can't get enough upstream using Orcon to do an HD Ustream stream because it requires a consistent, like, 1.2 megabits or something like that.
Well, we should talk to Snap.
So yeah, definitely. Talk to Snap because they will. They may even just run a second line for you for a month or two.
Yeah.
If we do sponsored by Snap.
Well, so we would definitely
we're
do that.
About
yeah.
A proper, you know, this is.
This is not. I mean, we are kind
speaking,
of half assed.
What I do for a living.
Yeah.
Not really. I don't make live shows, but I make television.
Yeah.
So we're gonna make a proper fucking TV show.
We're gonna make a fucking amazing internet TV show. It's gonna be the first. This beautifully produced and wonderful live internet TV general election show on the internet in New Zealand, I reckon.
I think it'll probably be the first, regardless of the production level. I don't think anyone else has done it.
And we're going to start at whatever time we can legally start, which I think is 7 p.m. And we're just going to go until we've got...
We can start earlier than that. We just can't start discussing results before that.
Oh, that's probably fair. Okay, that's probably fair.
Talk speculatively before that.
And I think it's probably a good idea if we get various people all over the country who we can talk to. Maybe, you know, we can send out roving reporters in Wellington to go and, you know, get a...
Try and get into the beehive wearing a pilot's outfit.
And tell us...
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, well, I hope so. We're going to be talking about politics, which I think, frankly, we're not very good at. But we'll have guests on who know what they're talking about. Because we will need some real politics geeks on. I think probably we'll have to try and get Keith on as much as we can possibly get him on. And everyone else, a whole bunch of people we've previously had on the show, you know, the expert guests that went well. And I think we can put something really cool together.
Sounds like a good idea.
Shit radio.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the other thing is it's not unprecedented. I've done this before.
Right.
Myself and friend of the show, Ryan Sproul, produced a live election coverage special for Triangle Television in 2005.
Yeah.
Which I'm proud to say was deemed the best election coverage by Eating Media Lunch.
Far out. Good work.
Yeah, it was pretty shit.
Well, I hope that we can win similar plaudits for this, and I think it will probably be even better on account of it will just be a little bit less awkward because I remember watching maybe a taped or maybe a live version of that Triangle TV show that you put together then, and it was a little bit awkward.
It was very awkward.
Wait,
halfway through before we realised that my talkback comms into Ryan's ear could be heard on air.
Tell them about your dick.
Talk louder, you fuckwit. Phil, we haven't got Rodney Hyde on the phone yet. Yeah.
I think probably I'll just get boozed, and then whenever you need Phil, you'll just turn my mic up, and I'll just keep rambling into it constantly, just at a constant velocity all evening. And you'll just turn it down when it gets boring, which will be most of the time. But, you know, when you want to have a wee, you'll just turn my mic up
and walk off. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have fun, and I'll be happy to add commentary briefly.
Briefly? Why briefly?
I don't know.
We need you there, Ben.
You'll be there.
We need you there. You're the Discourse co-host, co-founder.
Can I have a video, you know, touch video wall?
If you can create one. Oh, actually, we know some people who might be able to help with that.
I could run it on Windows 8.
Something we need.
Some people who provide equipment to build such walls.
Dylan, I know that you were looking at, there was some Northern European election package, election software.
It's just graphics software, but they used it for an election.
It's
open source.
I think that we needed a Flash developer to help finish that off. So, dear listeners, if you are a Flash developer, we would love to hear from you. Get in touch.
It's pretty simple stuff. We'd just be doing data visualizations. You know, quite simple.
Yeah.
You just need to create little Flash movies that are adaptable enough to take a variable input and visualize the output.
Yeah, because I mean, we've spoken to the elections people about getting a feed. We'll have the same feed that TVNZ and so on have. We'll have all the data. We'll just have a more relaxed commentary.
We can do those projections of, you know, this is under these scenarios, this is what the house will look like.
Except in that circumstance, I think you need to actually have some understanding of greater political statistics.
Exactly, we can just do scenarios. Say, like, right. If everyone votes green, the house looks like this.
Yeah, it's green.
Green.
they will have a majority.
A Twitter ticker says Polybeer Farm. That's a good idea. Probably not. Maybe. We'll check that out.
Chris _BNZ in the chat room suggests the Worm of Despair. Probably right.
I think it sounds like fun. Hands
touch some what just happened? Stuff. And those germs is that me?
I think on your you're soap playing an ad.
But I'm not playing an ad.
Why?
But I didn't start anything. All right, I'm opening the mixer and I'm trying to find Chrome and I'm turning it down. I wonder, did that stream... I hope that hasn't turned the stream off.
I haven't even hit play in the stream.
I didn't push play. Does it just play the ad every now and then? Does it just interrupt it? God damn. Oh, can you still hear it?
How much is a premium Ustream?
Probably heaps.
Yeah, heaps.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
we'll figure
heaps.
It out before we do the television show.
Yeah.
So there you go. And the other thing is, I suppose we'll accept some level of advertising. So, you know, if you're a Discourse fan who has some money in a business,
yeah,
you can give us some money in exchange for some level of...
some unknown level of exposure. Possibly heaps on the night of exposure, and probably more exposure afterwards, though.
And also that thing where you can't really... we're not very good at controlling what we say about things.
Well, but to be fair, when's the last time we smashed the shit out of Telecom? All they did was give us some phones.
Well, to be fair, they haven't actually fucked much up lately, so that's pretty good for them. If Vodafone had given us free phones, we might have said nasty things about them since then. Actually, right. No, Vodafone haven't been too bad lately either.
So it turns out, when that Ustream ad started playing, fuck Ustream, god damn it! Do Ustream have phones to give us? When that Ustream ad started playing and I turned it down in the mixer here, that meant I couldn't hear it anymore, but the listeners apparently still could.
No, I think maybe they all got it as well.
Right, okay.
No, because it stopped. When you turned it down, I couldn't hear it either, so...
Ustream start at $99 a month gets you 100 ad-free viewer hours, 50 cents per additional viewer hour.
Good lord, that's quite pricey, isn't it?
How much was that?
$100 US a month.
Yeah.
No, and if you had 100 people watching for an hour, you'd use up your ad-free hours and then have to start paying 50 cents per viewer hour after that.
Yeah, no, we need something. We probably need something other than that. Something other than that, probably.
Stream server.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more complicated than it seems, but we'll look into it.
We'll figure it out. Did you know that I did the first live event audio stream in New Zealand?
I did know that.
Yeah, I did that. My sole promotion for it was newsgroups, I think.
Did you do it from Squid? It was Luna, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Luna. I did it from... the very first one was from At Luna on Simon Street, where they were having some kind of battle of the bands or something. And the second one... was from the power station, which I did a couple of weeks later, and then I didn't do any more. Some asshole soundy tried to ruin the whole thing by pouring his beer into the computer.
How'd that go?
Actually, it went all right because the beer, I guess, circuitry didn't give a shit. I had computers probably that were used to getting poured covered with beer.
Yeah, and other things.
I've just been delivered pizza. Very happy about that.
I haven't actually eaten tonight.
Broccoli and mushroom. Yeah, I probably shouldn't eat either, given that it ruins the show. But then, yeah. How well is this going? So what? We can get onto something. Have we got a thing that goes? That's the we're about to announce the winner of a phone thing. Is it?
Ian, tell us about the phone.
The Windows Phone 7 phone.
Yes. Yes, tell us about it.
It's a what?
It's a HTC Trophy.
Yeah.
Running Windows Phone 7.0 with Mango Juice due very soon.
Yep.
Unlocked. Works fine on Vodafone. Works fine on Telecom in main centres. But, yeah, the frequencies won't work very well on the countryside.
Now, do you want to know my biggest problem with Windows Phone 7?
No, but you're going to say it anyway.
Well, it's not even really my biggest problem. Multitasking is my biggest problem. That'll be fixed in Mango, apparently. No, my biggest problem is the fact that it's called Windows Phone. So then when I'm talking about a phone that runs Windows Phone,
I have to call it
a Windows Phone phone.
Mm.
I have this bothers me.
Phone me on your Windows Phone phone.
Phone me on your Windows... Well, you know, would you like to win a Windows Phone 7 phone?
Would you like to win a Windows Phone 7
Someone
phone?
Someone has so we asked, Windows Phone 7 phone.
We asked, despite our better... I don't know.
Judgment.
Judgment, that's the one.
Well, Ben didn't want to do it, and I desperately did want to do it, so I don't know.
To enter a talent quest.
Talent show! Yeah.
And we didn't get many entries, did we?
We got heaps of entries. that must be 12.
Yeah, so you had, broadly speaking, if you entered at all and obeyed the rules, you had a 1 in 6 chance of winning a phone.
Yeah.
We got some interesting entries, some nice entries, some video entries, a couple of photo entries, and what we're going to do is we are going to put them all up for a vote starting soon and closing.
All except one.
Yes, because you can't win twice. So we're going to select a winner and put the rest up for a vote.
Should I twit pick this one for the viewers, the live streamers?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Why not?
And don't stop talking. I'm just going to do this over here.
Yeah. And the winner is just a lovely photo.
It's a lovely photo.
It was a nice photo.
It's more than that, though, because the talent that has been described is the winner. Sorry, I haven't got his name in front of me because I'm lazy.
Harin Patel.
Harin Patel. Harin's talent is taking photos while stopped at traffic lights, taking photos from the car while stopped at traffic lights, which is actually quite a talent because you have to spot something to take a photo of. You have to be able to take the photo quite quickly from a fixed position. You can't move around and get the best angle for it. And you also have to not crash and not be arrested and not, you know, other things. So quite a talent. And the photo he delivered as example of this talent is...
Is that another ad playing?
A very good photo.
He needs the relief of Gaviscon.
What the shit? In just 3 minutes. Are you kidding me?
I guess they play regularly.
So do people still hear us when the ads... Are they like to like time compress us so that they can play ads or what?
And Gaviscon's protective layer works for up to 4 hours.
Or are people missing stuff?
To provide long-lasting relief.
How are you feeling now?
Much better. Let's dance.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, good God.
Gaviscon.
Get rid of it.
What a feeling.
Seriously.
Also available in tablets.
Where's my
thing? Can I just recommend Mylanta if you have any sort of...
Can I just recommend eating food that doesn't make you feel sick?
Yeah, but when that doesn't work, you take Mylanta.
Oh, wait a second. I just won an award on Twitter. I won an award for the Daily Award for fitting the most internet meme references in a single Twitter thread with @NZBen.
What?
When we were talking about Ben's trouble that he's had. Do you want to talk about that, Ben? The trouble you've had?
Sorry, start again. I missed
the trouble you've had with the police, Ben.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. The police, the Po.
The Po.
The Po-Po. The 5-0. I just got home today and there was a letter in the mail saying, you as the owner of this car, registration number.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 my registration number. You need to send us the information as to who was driving this car at this time and date because it ran an orange light or it failed to comply with an orange yellow signal.
Yeah. Did they even call it a yellow signal?
Yes, they do.
They're fucking goons.
It almost reads like spam. It says, you know, under Section 118 of the Transport Act, you have to provide us details, then we'll send you an infringement notice. There's nothing in there that says, you know, here's the evidence, here's the detail, or anything. It just says date and time infringement, and we need to know who to bill. Yeah. So, I mean, surely I should be able to ask for evidence? I don't recall driving around like a dick at that time. I mean, I was driving around at that time and day.
Where was it?
In the city.
Hmm.
That's unusual. I always thought they had to stop you and talk about that sort of thing, because, you know, you could say... Problem is, after the fact, you can't remember why you chose to not stop at the orange. You might have thought you didn't have time to safely stop.
Yeah, or is it someone did? Well, maybe it was just someone ringing out the police and saying that guy ran an orange light.
No, they wouldn't. They would never. You can't do that. If you witness someone breaking a road rule, the best thing you can do is submit a road watch report.
Right.
And if you get three of those, then the police sort of start to pay attention. But you can't report someone for a single offence.
So I read the law and I have to tell them who was driving the car at the time. It's the law.
Well, I guess then they'll send you an infringement and then you can write back. It's unfair, though, that it happens so far afterwards when you can't, you know, you don't know what the circumstances were that much later.
Yeah, it was 3 weeks ago or so.
All you have to be is a bit poetic. Don't just tell them who was driving. Explain why you believe that happened. I would suggest saying something like, I always stop for ambers because I consider myself an extremely safe driver and I'm deeply in love with the road code. I read it every single night before I go to bed. And I read it
to my children.
I read it to my infant daughter.
I believed I was being followed by zombies.
As I was on pee at the time. But with the help of Jesus, I am struggling to defeat my addiction. I'm not saying I'm not still smoking it.
I couldn't possibly have because you couldn't see me through my big sandwich. and if I'd stopped for the orange light, I would have spilled all my margaritas.
That's good. I really like that one, actually. If I'd stopped for the orange light, I would have spilled my margaritas.
I didn't have time to put my cigarette out and put my razor down.
I didn't see the orange light. I was talking on my cell phone.
Just write such a long and meandering letter that they get very bored. And they'll just stamp it and say, don't do it again.
Do you know who I am?
I speaking as your Tongan lawyer, I almost guarantee it. Almost guarantee it.
That's why I thought I had three options. One was just to, you know, write and say, it was me. You cop, fair cop, here's the money.
Mm.
The second one was to write a big long poetic letter, and Dylan's right. The third one is to pull the "Do you know who I am?"
Yeah.
Do you know?
I'm on the internet radio.
I'm a big deal.
TV's Ben Gracewood. Do you know who you're dealing with?
I've sat next to Paul Henry on a number of occasions.
Does sitting next to me occasionally cancel that out?
Yeah, pretty much.
The consequences of your actions. You're not aware. Are we on to Fast Fives? We don't have a guest.
I'm not going to post that to Twitter, and I'm not including location data, and I'm uploading it. Sorry, I just did finish the photo. Fast Fives? Well, I don't think any of us really have news stories, so it's not
kind
of...
No, and they're not very fast either, the ones that I have.
So let's just say...
Fast Five.
And then not really do a Fast Five. By which
have we got
I mean
the timer going anyway? Have we gone to 15 minutes or not?
Oh, we've gone past 15 minutes. We are now at 18:53.
So this is the bit of the show where we read the things we've bullet pointed in our very carefully pre-arranged show notes.
Where do you want to start? Well, let's start with travel, because that will then segue into why I travelled. We don't care about your travel, Morgan.
All right.
Okay.
Tell us about travel, Ben.
Good.
No, I'd like to hear about your travel, Morgan. But I travelled the last week and a half to the USA.
Yeah.
To Seattle and LA. And it's the first time I've driven around LA. I got a hire car. I actually asked them nicely and they upgraded me to a convertible. I said, it's my first time in California, man. You got to help me out. And I got a little Mitsubishi convertible.
Oh, not a real one.
Yeah. It was good fun. God damn, LA is big and smelly, and their freeways, you know, they're the what do you, you know, I mean, free, if you think America, you think freeways, right? You think smooth, long, straight freeways everywhere.
Beautiful, smooth concrete. Not like that cheap tarmac that we use. The
asphalt. Yep. But by God, they're noisy and rattly. It was funny because I got the car at LAX, went to In-N-Out Burger, which was great fun.
Yeah.
Great burgers.
Did you get a double-double? Did you get a monster?
Still alive.
Did you get an animal?
Yeah, double-double animal style and fries animal style. The fries animal style were disgusting, but the double-double was good.
What animal style on the fries? Just covered.
It's kind of like bacon bits and Big Mac sauce.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Thousand Island, I think that is.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you could see, the cool thing was you could see them chopping the fries. You know, they actually had a potato chopper there and chopping the fries and cooking them right then and there. So it's very cool. And then I went up to the Getty, which is incredible. If you ever get to LA, do it. But the thing was, then I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll leave the top down and I'll drive down to the hotel in Anaheim thinking, you know, how big can it be?
Yeah.
And it was an hour drive on a rattly, smelly freeway.
Mm-hmm.
With the top down on a little Mitsubishi.
Mm.
And man, it just made me appreciate Auckland.
That is kind of the ultimate end of the motorway-focused transport policy.
Absolutely.
So that is what National want for us.
But then at the same time, LA also has, as I understand it, a pretty functional bus system and some light rail.
And a subway.
A subway?
Yeah, there's a couple of the
I mean, LA is just a fucking huge
rail
city
in the middle of it.
Yeah,
it's big and it's spread out. No, yeah, what that's what I thought, Dylan. Not necessarily the it's the car culture that has let it spread out so far. And you know, so even down in Anaheim, which I guess is analogous with Manukau, kinda, but further away.
Manukau.
Yeah.
Manukau.
Yeah, Manukau.
That's how we're pronouncing it now, is it?
Yeah.
I grew up in South Auckland, that's how I pronounced it.
Right.
So, yeah, Manukau, bro.
My in-laws are from Whangarei.
Whangarei.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know...
Corrections. Corrections.
The correct pronunciation is Manukau.
And
where did you grow up, Morgan?
Auckland City. In the middle.
Tamaki Makaurau.
Ponsonby, bro.
All right, Ponsonby. Ponsonby.
If the roads in a suburb like Anaheim,
it just
feels so hostile to people. Mm. You know, the 8-lane avenues.
Do they even have footpaths?
They do, but
mostly covered in drug paraphernalia and hookers.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It sort of was really, it left me really melancholic, and I sort of the scale is also car size and so big. So a block, you know, I thought, oh, I'll walk a block to downtown Disney to go to this party, and it took me about 20 minutes to walk along and up one block.
Well, you are very fat, Ben. How many burgers did you stop for in that 20 minutes? Is that when you got the double-double?
He was still eating double-double.
Did he discover that's illegal to defecate in the street at the same time? Did he go via a police station?
I was walking at regular human walking speed the entire time.
Ben, why were you in Anaheim?
Why was I in Anaheim?
I decided to go to Knott's Berry Farm in Disneyland. Was that?
I didn't. But you didn't. You have the opposite experience, Dylan. Where you travelled and you saw that was I came away from LA driving and walking, kind of feeling really good about Auckland and how we have barnyard crossings and things where we can actually let pedestrians have a go.
Barns dance
instead of barnyard.
Barns dance.
Barn gate. Barn gate crossings.
Corrections.
The crossing was designed by a man named Barnes. It's referred to as the Barnes Dance.
But it's like a barnyard too, isn't it, really?
No.
You have your barns situated on all four corners of a square and the animals come out all at once.
And you farm humans for food.
I always thought it was barnyard because it was like a, you know, like a bloody... mayhem in a barnyard.
Well, it's not. I'm pretty sure this has been discussed in discourse before.
Yep. I think that Robin may have corrected me. I always thought it was barn dance, not barns dance. And then someone corrected me. It might have been Chris Sproul.
Mm.
In a moment of clarity.
So yes, you were in Anaheim because?
No, no, I'm still going back to Dylan.
And not me, how... travel anyway, not me.
No, Morgan, whatever the hell your name is. But you came. You said you mentioned briefly to me that you came back from your...
My name is Morgan.
You came back from wherever you travelled to feeling like you would rather have Auckland be like their trip.
Every time you made it clear that you were about to talk to Dylan, I would take a bite of pizza. And then it would turn out that actually you wanted me to talk. You're a great big troublemaker. I'm going to find Disapproving Bell just for you. Haven't heard from Disapproving Bell for ages. I went to Thailand. And probably people think, well, that's going to be decrepit and broken down, and it's just going to be tuk-tuks everywhere.
Yes.
What you don't know is that Bangkok has an elevated rail network and also a subway system.
$2 DVDs.
And tuk-tuks, of course, they're prevalent. They're definitely around. There are touts for them, and you could grab one within moments if you wanted one, but they are not really a very popular means of transport, certainly not for people who have a bit of money, because they're terrifying.
How many nights did you spend in Bangkok, just out of curiosity?
Four nights, I think.
Not one night.
No, not one night.
Okay.
You weren't made humble.
Me? Let's see, where's that button again?
Not. Corrections.
Morgan Humble. Never. So it was steamy and hot and beautiful and wonderful, and the people are kind of tolerant and forgiving in a way that New Zealanders are. Eat our own young, selfish, greedy and grumpy. And they've managed to get their shit together enough to build a goddamn subway and quite a cool light rail. No, it's heavy rail, but elevated network.
So it's just a subway line, or are you saying it's an
integrated No, it's not like Tokyo. It's newer than that. I don't even know when they started building it. I think there's only two lines. But it went exactly where we wanted to go, and it was really convenient. And the interaction between the elevated rail and the subway was pretty good. You know, you just went down some really cool escalators. And the subways were really of exactly the same standard as Tokyo.
But look, Morgan, if you had a large event where it was probably, you know, the largest event of its sort in the world and everyone wanted to go to a show at the same time, it wouldn't hold up, would it? So then it's useless.
The subway, I think, would not be particularly great for getting to something like Eden Park because it's in Bangkok. It would take forever to get here.
But isn't it, I mean, I'm just seeing these guys lining up to say... To use that Rugby World Cup opening night failure as an excuse for why public transport doesn't matter. And it's such a stupid case.
They've got the exact wrong end of the stick.
Yes.
And they're seeing it entirely wrong. And excuse me, I've got to get rid of this. I could have probably swallowed, but you know how it goes. Dylan's here. I always like to spit when Dylan's around just in case he gets the wrong idea. Hamish Keith said that the exact point this makes is that people really want to use public transport.
Yes.
And the failure was that we don't have enough of it.
Well, especially when for weeks, if not months beforehand, they'd been told to use public transport.
Yeah.
There were signs on all the motorways saying, don't drive into the city. By the way, I drove into the city that night. There was no fucking traffic anywhere.
Yeah. And that's the way it will work. When people use the public transport, the roads are better to use.
But it does only work if the public transport all happens to be going where people want to go, which is probably the biggest issue with Auckland's public transport, is that it doesn't always go where people want to be.
And that's the point of the changes to the bus network that they've made, turning things into loops rather than, you know, the radial spoke thing.
Yeah.
Which is just we've changed from having the, what was it called, the city circuit and the link. We've changed to having the inner link, the city link, and the outer link, which are three great big, medium size and small loops, and they go where people for the most part seem to want to go. Some people have been a little bit fucked up by the change. I think it's killed a couple of previously kind of the normal style of bus service lines, but for the most part it seems to be really friggin' good.
Right.
And but that's just one piece of the puzzle. And I think that having a Subway would be really nice. Thanks, because Subways are awesome. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's just nothing better than rail. It's just got to be in the right places.
City
Nets. That's the problem.
But it's not a problem. All we have to do is build it in the right places.
But there are so many places. This is the thing I always get with Auburn, though. It's such a spread out city that it seems to me that it's always going to be hard to do that.
Because of the traffic focus.
Well, because, like, even, you know, like, even where I live, it takes me basically, you know, I'm like 8 minutes drive from the motorway. Like, if there was, you know, and the bus situation's crap. I just find it hard to believe that a rail system would be any more suitable to me.
Well, no, it wouldn't, but then, you know, the rail system would be suitable to other people who would then take the load off the road system.
Yeah, I suppose so. And then I can drive faster.
Number one, I think we need to have rail to the goddamn airport.
Yeah, that befuddles me.
It's bizarre that it doesn't. And it goes so far.
It's not even the motorway to the airport. It's like, fuck, it's hard to get to the airport.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to get to the airport?
Oh, they'll dig a tunnel and then it'll be fine, Dylan.
Okay, good.
They'll dig a tunnel from Albany.
Or from Sydney. All right.
So why are you in Bangkok, Dylan? Morgan?
Oh, my God.
Correction.
I wasn't in Bangkok.
Why weren't you in Bangkok, Dylan?
I don't know.
Because you have a small child.
And because if I don't work, I don't get paid.
Mm.
Okay, so Morgan.
God. for good fun. God. Just for fun, you know? It was just the same reason that normal people travel.
Because
did you get good flight tickets, or did you just decide to go?
No, we didn't get particularly. We didn't get anything particularly special. Cool. Normal flights didn't do anything. I've never had what's it called? Catch a seat.
Grab a seat.
I've never done grab a seat, even though I've thought about it a few times. It just the whole grab a seat thing seems kind of. It seems like a crap way to do it.
The timing is almost never perfect, but when it is, it's good.
If I was entirely self-employed and could just travel whenever the hell I wanted, which I never actually found to be the case when I was self-employed. But if those things were both true, then I think it would be brilliant because, you know, like the $600 return airfares to Tokyo and so on that come up very occasionally, I would just absolutely jump on them. I think anyone who hasn't been to Tokyo should go to Tokyo.
Grab a seat must be God, a huge it's such a great city. Selling,
a huge what?
A huge winner. It must just generate them. Because even with the domestic ones, right, you see, oh, look, $49 to Wellington. And you go and look, maybe you can get a $49 down and you still have to pay the $89 back up. And that's immediately, you know, a flight you weren't going to take before.
Yes.
I mean, that must
and as far as I could tell, the Tokyo ones were actually basically funded by, you know, Tourism Japan.
Yeah, probably.
Or the equivalent to get people to go. So,
right.
Yeah.
I don't think it should take much to get people to go because Japan is just so wonderful. You don't need to speak the language. The people are great and the food is just the food is the best in the world, frankly. I mean, in terms of like if you just picked at random a place to go and have dinner, I think that you would have to try probably 50 times before you got a stinker.
Oh, hell yes. And I mean, I think it's kind of the opposite side end of the spectrum to USA. That was my other experience in USA is I would walk, you know, so I had 6 or 7 nights in the same place and I kind of walk a few blocks to try and find somewhere decent. Man, it's hard to find somewhere decent.
Got mugged 3 times in one evening.
On the way.
Yeah.
So again, oh, yeah, stopping for burgers, topping up.
Yeah.
But I mean, the one saving grace is Mexican food in LA. You know, the little tiny dive Mexican takeaway. You know, I said, oh, here, so I got some takeaway burritos, whatever the hell, and he said, yeah, and he gave me a couple of potholes to fill with salsa.
Right.
And I was kind of looking around, trying to work out what he was talking about, and then I looked, and they had, yeah, 7 different types of salsa in the cabinet. It's fantastic.
Leighton in the chat room, Polar Bear Farm, says that California has the best food in the US, and I've actually never been to anywhere in California.
I have, but I was 8, so it doesn't really help.
Mm. I would like to have
everything's
really good
franchise
Mexican.
There as well. Everything.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't find a. I mean, I'm sure, you know, like I say, if you lived there, you'd find a nice little cafe that had good food and you'd use it regularly. But as a tourist, trying to find somewhere with unique, non-McDonald's, non-Morton's Steakhouse franchise.
I would be inclined to go to Twitter for those sort of recommendations. That said, I think I have quite a few followers in LA, so that would help.
I'd go to Zagat's.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
Google just bought them. I was hoping someone would point that out, but never mind. That one fell flat. What's next?
Sorry.
Windows 8.
Oh, that's why you were in the States, because you're a Microsoft fanboy.
Yeah.
/ MVP.
Yeah. No, I was actually up there for business in Redmond, and yes, coinciding with the Build conference in Anaheim.
Windows 8, I think you've accidentally incremented by one. I'm using Windows 7 and very happy with it. Surely Windows 8 is a very long way away.
Yeah, well, it's when ready when they're done, which got a round of applause, actually. Rather than setting a date, they said, we'll release it when we're happy with quality.
Well, the reality is that 7 is friggin' great, and so what's the rush?
Yeah, exactly. The rush is that I think Microsoft is aware of the kind of tablet plus cloudization, if that's a word.
So here's my question about Windows 8, and bear in mind I've not used it and I don't really pay much attention. Is it really a new operating system?
No.
Or is it? Okay. Or is it just a new UI and some different bits?
Yeah. So this is where I think they've actually nailed it. I don't think they're getting they're getting lots of credit, actually. The press has been fantastic. But the more I think about it, the more I think they've done really, really well, and they've actually nailed it. And this is, it's, you know, again, hard to be independent. And
now we always understand that everything you say in relation to Microsoft is carefully vetted. And
but you think about it, right? So have a think about Windows 8. Worst case scenario, it is Windows 7, and you can do everything that you can on Windows 7.
Yes.
So, you know, so what? You know, if you're buying a new PC.
The best case scenario is you can swipey things around and it looks like your Windows Phone 7, which is now confusing because Windows Phone 7 looks like Windows 8.
But well, the thing is, though, if you look at the Metro style apps, they need to get a better name, get a better description of it. But you look at the Metro, the Tiley interface as well.
Yeah.
You take that out and run it standalone, it actually does a bloody good job of being a tablet interface. It does, you know, arguably, if you're like me and you're getting bored shitless of basic, you know, grid of icons Apple approach.
I hate the grid of icons Apple approach, which is why I like Android, because I have the not so grid of icons widget approach. But
so it's kind of a mix between the widget approach and the grid of icons approach. You know, it's reasonably locked down, but yeah. The more I think about it, the more I think this is the thing. Is I went expecting to be disappointed, expecting there to be a caveat or a piece missing, but they've kind of covered all bases. And the only really downside is that if you're using it purely touch and then you run the desktop as well, it's not very easy to use as a touch interface.
Yeah.
All
right.
So
it's good and you like it and you have a tablet and you're not selling it on eBay.
No, I'm not.
Some people are.
Yeah, there
actually,
are.
Actually, someone suggested I saw an article about the eBay sellers that the tablet wasn't actually given to you, it was loaned to you with the expectation that it may be returned at some point.
Nah, rubbish.
No? Okay, right.
That tablet itself, the Samsung Series 7 Slate, will be on sale. It's a Windows 7 device.
For how much?
The guys at the Samsung stand said $1,099 without the keyboard and dock.
I guess if I wanted to have one machine, I'd think about that. Frankly, still the only tablet I'd get is the iPad 2.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I'm kicking myself for not getting one at Srinada or whatever the Bangkok airport is, because they were $550 New Zealand for an iPad 2, and I was talked out of it.
Question: the Samsung tablet that's going to be Windows Phone 7, a Windows 7 tablet. See how confusing this is becoming. Is it the same sort of hardware as the Galaxy Tab? Because I'd quite like, I like that my laptop can dual boot, right? I can run Linux and I can run Windows and whatever the fuck else I want. I would quite like a tablet that I could dual boot between, say, Android and...
No, so it's a Galaxy Tab is an ARM device, as is the iPad. The Samsung Series 7 Slate, stupid name, is a laptop. It's a quad-core i5 with 4 gigs of RAM in it and an SSD.
Yeah,
it runs Visual Studio.
How hot does it run? Is it noisy? That must have a cooling fan, yeah.
It has a fan that comes on every now and then, but so it's not a iPad class device at all in the slightest.
It's an old style slate. It's what Microsoft were doing for 10 years before the iPad came out.
But better. I mean, it's gruntier than any slate I've seen before.
Better because it doesn't have a keyboard built into it.
Thinner and all that sort of stuff. It's the best x86 slate I've ever seen, but it's still an x86 slate, which is stupid.
It's no Corea, though, is it?
What's that?
It's no Corea, though, is it?
No, it's not. So, if they came out with an ARM device that was, you know, as light and had as much battery power as the iPad, with everything that this Windows 8 thing has on it, then it's pretty amazing that they can do that.
Mm. Will Windows 8, do you think Windows 8 will target ARM as a platform?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. The question is, will all software run on it? No.
No, of course. It's a really different architecture.
But they will. The cross-compiling is reasonably straightforward, but you can't go and pick up a piece of shareware from a year ago that isn't cross-compiled and running on ARM.
I thought that Windows had a hardware abstraction layer. Was that just old NT stuff? Does that not exist anymore?
The hardware would still be across an Intel chips and Intel instruction set, though, wouldn't it? You know, hardware.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I think the hell is to do with drivers and stuff as opposed to actual machine code.
All right. We are at 42 minutes, and we've done two of your fast fives.
Right.
So it's not fast, and nor is it five.
No. And we're going to run out of time any minute. 18 minutes from now.
Yeah.
So I think we should carry on as we are and then have a massive explosion, a meltdown right at the last minute, and then continue in the overflow until Ben falls asleep. But I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Cool.
Sure.
So I'm. I saw, what was the name of the guy from Microsoft who presented it?
Sinofsky,
that's it. Saw some article thing about... him being the new Steve Jobs.
Oh, God, no. Good God. He stumbled and his presentation style was a bit ass. And the guy after him was the new Steve Jobs.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Jensen someone or other. He was really, really clear and talked about the philosophy behind it and, you know, the design approach and that sort of stuff. He was much better.
Yeah.
Is he wearing a turtleneck?
Kinda.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So if you're going to watch anything from Build, watch the second keynote, the one after the Stanofsky's one.
Right. I'm definitely not going to watch anything from Build.
Cool.
And I haven't watched a keynote for a while either, though. So Microsoft don't need to feel bad about that. I'm told by people in the chat room that the ad is about to play again. So I've preemptively turned down Chrome. And so we can just ignore it. And we'll just ignore the wailings and gnashing of teeth from the chat room. Man, Ustream. I remember the ad was annoying, but I don't remember it playing so often. I recall it playing just when you started. They need revenue or something. Very, very sorry, listeners. We had the Mixler software is just junk. It's just junk. It can't even start. So we had to swap out. That's why we were so late starting this week, because the software.
How could it be so hard to do a free, huge amount of bandwidth streaming system for free?
I don't know.
We are asking for a lot, really, aren't we, frankly? Yeah.
All right, next. What's next? Come on.
What's his name who put on a pilot uniform and went to wherever? That's one of your ones. Where's my thing?
Bryce Katie put on a pilot uniform.
Who?
Bryce Casey.
I thought it was, what's his name? Ben whatever.
Ben
Linus or...
Ben Boyce.
Jamie whatever.
No, it wasn't. It was Bryce Casey who was doing it for the Wanna Ben show.
Was he doing it for the kids?
Successor to Pulp Sports, sort of.
Pulp Sport was so good. I don't understand why they stopped making it.
What happened to that guy?
It was so good.
One of them is no longer involved.
It used to be Bill and Ben, didn't it?
Yes, and then one of them's not involved, and we shouldn't talk about it anymore. However,
just a second.
Pilot and try and get into a security area at the airport. Surprise, surprise, they weren't allowed to, because apparently he didn't really look that much like a pilot, and he didn't really try and pretend to be a pilot. So
I think that's an angle that hasn't been followed in the story, that airport security works totally fine.
Yeah. Well, maybe. If he'd looked more like a pilot, who knows? But then, so they questioned him, and went away, and then they published really, really shitty security cam picture saying, do you know who this is? This terrible person tried to bypass security. He's probably a terrorist. Ha ha. And then, I don't know, as soon as I saw that, I went, this looks like something someone's done for a TV show. Mm. And lo and behold, it was something someone's done for a TV show. And then, surprise, surprise, everyone got arrested. And when I say everyone got arrested...
They handed themselves in because they heard the police were investigating. Yeah.
But everyone got arrested. Like, okay, so Bryce Casey, who was the person in the pilot uniform, he got arrested. Ben Boyce, who was the show's producer and probably the director on location, got arrested. The show's other producer got arrested. And today, the camera operator, or sorry, 2 days ago if you're listening to the recorded version and a couple of days from now, the camera operator, the sound recordist, and a production coordinator also got arrested.
They must have been on site, right, to be arrested?
Well, the production coordinator probably wasn't. The camera operator and sound recordist obviously were. They would have been probably in the ute with the dark windows that was described, shooting through the window with a radio mic, I imagine.
I think they said high-ass van.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah, so they all got arrested, which I find really unusual because, I mean, I don't know, I suppose they were conspiracy to the crime.
Conspirers.
Or conspiring to the, you know, conspirators in the crime. But yeah. That does seem... You know, presumably the police understand the nature of the production and would realise that they had the sound recordist, at the very least the sound recordist and cam operator had no culpability for what was happening.
Yeah.
They would have been contractors, wouldn't they?
Well, absolutely. They'd hired on a daily rate.
Yeah.
So it sucks to be them. I don't know who they are yet, but I'll find out.
I bet that they're mates. I bet that the camera guy and sound guy have been working with them for years.
Oh, of course. But I mean, but so have lots of people. You know, a lot of people I know have worked with them in the past as well.
Probably should be arrested then, Dylan.
Probably. Yeah.
It reminds me a bit of the chasers. Remember the chasers war?
Well, apparently that's the thing. Chasers have done much worse and never been arrested.
They did a motorcade and drove through an APEC checkpoint in a motorcade.
Yeah, and they got told off. Brilliant. They were being very stupid and told they could have got, you know, shot or whatever, which is all probably quite true. And in this case, I think that would have been the approach that I think the police should have taken, is said, you know, you guys are dumbasses. You should publicly apologise for your dumbassery. And by the way, our security works.
I did hear one take on it, which was quite true, that it was a stunt, right? And they knew it was a dodgy stunt. And if the police don't kind of at least prosecute them and then maybe discharge them without conviction, then, you know, people won't think it's very stunt-like.
Yeah.
People, I mean, we'll try it more often. So they need to make sure it's at least got a, you know, deterrent.
I don't know.
I think that the police had no choice but to do it, but I also think that they shouldn't have, because it doesn't matter that it's a bad joke. It's just a stupid joke, and that really is all it is. There was no malicious intent. This is the same thing that they used to. I imagine that this is the same thing that they used to do on Pulp Sport, where they'd sneak beer into sports grounds and then they'd drink it. And all they were going to do is go in there and then be, look, I'm in here now. Edgy. I just don't see the harm that is shown, really.
So the chasers did lots worse and never got busted for it. The interesting thing I thought was really interesting. I saw an article in one of the earlier articles, the first one where it was identified that it was a TV crew. So I think the article in the Herald was something along the lines of TV crew talking to police about the thing, and the head of the Airline Pilots Association, whose name I don't recall and can't be bothered looking up, said apparently that it wasn't possible in New Zealand to hire authentic looking pilots' uniforms, so it was a concern that they had one.
I didn't think it looked authentic.
Well, there's a question of how authentic it looked to start with, and then there's a few seconds on Google finding one to hire and a few more seconds on Trade Me finding all the bits you need to make one. So, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, how authentic did it look? Obviously, you can hire them, because I don't think that the pop sport people went to some ridiculous effort to get one. Yeah. Sorry, the wannabe people.
I guess maybe the thing is that they're afraid that people will discover that really almost all security is basically smoke and mirrors. You think you can't get into somewhere, so you can't get into somewhere. You assume that other people can't, so you assume it's safe. And I think that they just want to keep up that illusion, maybe.
I mean, of course, you know, it's what they were attempting was social engineering, which is the most effective, you know, hacking tool, I suppose.
It's the one that works the most often.
Yep. I have another thing on my list. It's called Emmys Backstage. The Emmys was the other day.
One.
I didn't see it live on television because I was at work. But what I did see while I was not working, while I was waiting for my computer to do shit, because I spent a lot of time doing that, was a live video cast from the backstage area, commentated by a guy called Michael Costas, and it was like a whole separate production. They had like, I don't know, 11 cameras, and this commentator, and they'd just talk shit and show people backstage. It was really quite cool. I found it incredibly entertaining. Yeah, that was it. It was a very interesting use of, well, I guess an alternate use. It was Emmys.com did it. It wasn't part of the official broadcast, and it was so they never used official broadcast footage. Like, you couldn't ever see what was happening on the stage. They had some cameras that sometimes roamed out to the side of the stage and looked out towards the audience, but that was about it. Anyway, that was an interesting way to experience the Emmys.
All right, we are going to run short on time. I'm going to bang out a couple quickly, ladies. number one, how great is the rugby? I think it's been brilliant. That Australia-Ireland game was incredible. We were sitting in our living room, Selena and I, just shouting, basically, towards the end there. It was so fun. It was so good. And I think, judging by Twitter, a lot of the haters who were talking about how they were grumpy about their city going away and how they were going to shut down for 6 weeks.
Get over themselves.
A lot of them have gotten over themselves, but I think you probably won't hear them actually admit that, because there's a lot of good shit going on. There's a lot of happy people on the streets, and there's you know, a lot of bars with more people in them than there used to be, and they're still not crushingly packed anywhere I've been.
I still don't give a shit about rugby, but it was certainly interesting to see other people's passion about that game.
Yeah,
there's too many people on the streets now. Apparently, we're partying.
Guys, it's my Fast Fives, and I'm only doing like three, and I'm doing them all in like 1 minute and 20 seconds. So, if you'd do me the courtesy of shutting the fuck up, please. Number two is Stevie Wonder thanked this week Steve Jobs at WonderCon, which I guess is a Stevie Wonder conference. He thanked Steve Jobs directly. He says that he uses an iPad and he uses an iPhone. I guess he probably uses OS X, and he thanked Steve Jobs for the accessibility stuff that's built into OS X. There's a pretty good screen reader and so on, and there are tools and apps built with iPhones and iPads that do amazing things that are almost enough to make you cry, probably, just about. Like blind people talking about an iPhone app they've got now. They can
point. The Sunset one. Is that the one?
Oh, why don't you just finish this off for me?
He's going to storm off now.
No, there is a fantastic story about that. I remember reading it and just about crying as well. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Go on then.
Yeah. An app that reads the names of colours to you.
Yeah. What it does is it looks through the camera and it tells you what it sees. It tells you, like, I guess, the average colour. And so this person was talking about just basically waving his phone around and just listening to everything around him and watching the sunset as the sky changed. I think this was a person who had been able to see when he was younger, but hadn't been able to see for years. So he understood what he was being told by his phone as it gave him all these really vivid names. That's brilliant. I've actually just recently turned New Zealand's first poet laureate onto OS X. She's moved from a Windows laptop over to a MacBook Air for the sake of the better accessibility apps. And it's been a very, very hard change for her to make because OS X otherwise isn't very nice, I think. But she quite likes the screen reader and it's built in. And so, you know, she'll get past the learning curve. And away you go. Yeah, it's good stuff. I think that there are a lot of ways that we can make life easier for all sorts of people. You don't need to be blind to have. I mean, everyone who's a bit older has trouble with certain colours, just because you start to see like all the whites start going a bit yellow and everything starts getting a bit dimmer, and you're probably not aware of it because it happened over 70 years. But you know, it's all of our grandparents and parents.
And probably some of us as well. What's the next thing to talk about? No copyright complaints apparently yet. The new law changed over September the 1st. Not one complaint yet. So there you go. Well, I bet it's going to be Dylan first. It's never going to be me. Where's my ad? Oh, no, someone deleted the ad. Oh, no, there you go. Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK? Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see that you're not in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia? Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government has recently passed stupid, dangerous, draconian laws? Tell them to mind their own business while you mind your own and go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up. It's surprisingly inexpensive. Thank you, I'm done. Carry on.
I thought you were talking about copyright infringement. What the fuck was that about?
That was an ad, unrelated.
Oh, okay.
Corrections.
I downloaded a big Linux ISO the other day.
Oh, yeah? But you were going to say I downloaded a big poo.
No, and then my before we started. I don't know where it put it. Oh. I can't find it. Fucking annoying.
Have you rebooted your computer? Maybe it installed itself.
It was like 4 gigs. I don't know where it went.
Crikey.
Anyway.
Your desktop? In your documents downloads folder?
No, it didn't go where it was supposed to. Oh. I don't know what happened. Very upsetting.
What else are we going to do? How much time have we got? We've got... Actually, we've got a whole 4 minutes. Ages.
My auntie tells me...
Oh, yeah?
That the new US TV season is just starting.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Go.
Well, my auntie says the new US TV season is just starting, so it shows...
So much stuff.
So what have you been watching?
And How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. Slapsgiving.
And other
Survivor, things. Amazing Race.
Yeah, Survivor, Amazing Race. They've all started again in the States, so I expect to be receiving them on VHS tape shortly.
We won't see them for ages here.
No, not for ages. There's a show from the UK called How Rupert Murdoch Screwed the News, which my auntie sent me on tape. Really appreciate it. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows all of the details probably already, actually, but it's pretty good to
here's
see.
Here's something, though, to be fair. So Sky is launching a new... premium, you know, subscription channel. Yeah. So it's not in the base package, called Soho. And part of the aim of Soho, it's a channel that's launched to carry the best premium cable shows, basically. So the stuff from HBO, AMC, FX, people like that who make shows like The Sopranos and all those shows that, you know, King of Thrones? No, Game of Thrones. Those sorts of shows. Are going to go on this channel, and apparently they're going to make it a priority to try and get them on the channel, certain ones anyway, as soon as possible after a year.
Yeah, but what does as soon as possible mean?
Well, I don't know.
Does it mean the next prime time after they air in the US, or does it mean, oh, we managed to get them into the schedule in a month? Because
no,
that's what they currently...
I mean, I think it probably means within days for key shows.
Yeah.
Day or days. Because, I mean, you know, obviously the broadcasters understand the significance.
We need to continue this after the thing.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Where's my thing?
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Oh, God.
And where's my thing? God damn, so unprepared. Your word, Dylan, is party hats.
Okay. They are little conical cardboard hats with elasticated chin straps that you put on your head at a party to signify how much fun you're having.
Ben?
A euphemism for condoms.
50,602 upvotes, 840 downvotes, so it's a pretty popular one. It was the Urban Dictionary Word of the Day on September the 10th, 2011. The definition, according to Urban Dictionary, is erect and mighty pointed nipples. Hey, it must be cold out because your mom has her party hats on. Added to the dictionary by Logos on August the 12th, 2003. And we have 1 minute remaining.
Wow.
Corrections. Let's open up the toot bag.
Do we have any toot? Anything in the toot bag?
I did a search, but no, there's not many.
All right, well, let's close the toot bag.
Oh, actually, no, I got a toot. One of our listeners tooted at me, literally,
yeah,
in the car, tooted at my car.
Oh, cool.
And then waved her iPhone. No, it wasn't an iPhone. It was some sort of Android tablet phone. Waved it at me, showing me the Discourse XL graphic to indicate that she was listening to the Discourse Extra Large podcast.
Thank you, listener, for showing your approval to Dylan. You probably shouldn't be using your phone in the car, though. Sorry.
Reamdy.
Reamdy, a play on Read Me. Neil Hi. Stevenson's new book is due out in a couple of days.
Don't buy a paper. Get an ebook for the first time in your life. Am I looking at the wrong book?
Two.
Tweet us. Facebook. One. Whatever.
Have a good night. Week.
See you in a minute.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on
With course.
Right. We're using that one.
Tune in right now for the Extra Large Extended Edition, available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to The Weekly Show.